All right, guys, guess what? We are already in the second week of January. Matter of fact, this is the 10th day, Monday, January 10th, 2022. Already, wow. I mean, just a week has already zoomed by. I don't know about you, but you know what? If this is any indication of what the year is going to be like, I pray that I know God is going to keep me, but I pray I keep my eyes open and I am part of what is happening this year and nothing goes by me. Oh, man. You know, maybe about a decade or so ago that I began noticing how quickly time was just zooming by. And, you know, it's like I was missing things. Not that I wasn't involved, but it seemed like, whoa, I missed that. When did that happen? But man, that's just life today. So I pray that for myself and you, that as God keeps us throughout this year, that we don't miss anything, that we don't miss his timing and miss his blessings, that we're always vigilant, keeping our eyes open for what he is doing and what he is about to do through our ears, that he is speaking to us so that we can hear what he is about to say, where he's going to lead us. And that is so key for any man. And I think especially this year, and I'll talk about that after the break, but it is so key that as men, we're in a position to hear what God is saying. So with that, guys, man, I hope that your new year has been blessed, that you not just came through, but you have plans, hopefully already have plans in the works for what you want to accomplish for not just yourself, but your family, your wife, your children, and a community as well, your church community, your business community, whoever you may be attached to, whatever group you may be connected with, that somehow you're getting involved in a more purposeful manner or more consistent manner. Sometimes, you know, we just show up and we get involved, but we're not consistent enough or we're not giving enough in whatever regard. So I pray that as you make your plans, that you make your plans with God and according to his blueprint. And I heard this not long ago that, and we should know this, that whatever we're doing, let God be the first thing in it. Not just creating something and then asking God to be in it, because anything that we're trying to do underneath our own power means that we're going to have to sustain it underneath our own power, that we're going to have to find resources in under our own connections. We're going to have to try to be creative. But if you put God first, he will show you the way. He will be your strength. He will be your guide. He will bring the creativity to you. He will put it in your hands, or he will bring somebody that has that ability to make things grow and or prosper in what you're trying to accomplish for his good measure in this kingdom that he has given us. So men, ladies, whoever is listening, young men, young ladies, my God, please, please, as you prepare to go further into this year, get those plans in order, get them lined up, brainstorm with somebody. You may actually have to partner with someone to get this thing done, but nonetheless, start it. Don't just think about it. Don't just put it on paper, but get it moving. Put it into action, because I tell you, there will be a blessing as you continue to move. And I'll touch on that as well after the break. But by all means, let's do that. And with this, you know, just a quick thing about the New Year's. Matter of fact, going into the new year week, I myself had to deal with COVID, and my wife just as well, for a few days. By the grace of God, it was not severe at all. It was almost similar to allergies, with the exception of the cough that I had, which was a dry cough. And normally I really don't cough a lot. So when I noticed that, I went ahead and got a rapid test, and you know, of course, they told me I was positive. So quarantine, my wife and I quarantined for that short period of time. But, you know, my wife said something yesterday at church, which was such a blessing to me and gave me a different perspective on how she was seeing the situation. You know, for me, I was pretty much okay. I was like, okay, well, I know I got COVID. I need a quarantine. Let me go about my business. And I was preparing for an event this past Saturday on the 8th. So, you know, I was just doing what I needed to do. But her eyesight, in her mind, she saw something different, in that she saw that her husband was sick, but yet her husband was still forging forward in the spirit, meaning as I just said, I was preparing for a men's event this past weekend, but what she was seeing is that as I was sick, we were praying, and as we were praying, I was getting into the Word of God, doing my study, and she noticed it before me that I stopped coughing. And I didn't even think about it, but she mentioned this yesterday, and that's why we need somebody else in our life, you know, whether you're married or not, but somebody that sees your situation from a different perspective to give you a different insight into what you're dealing with. And that was so profound. It was such a blessing to me. So I thank God for my wife and just sharing that. So nonetheless, I am here. I am healthy. We're both healthy. We're going about our lives and we're going to make this happen. So, hey, guys. Get ready. I want you to get your pen and paper because I'm going to get into a topic that I was speaking about at our men's event Saturday. And I want you to get the same blessing just as well. So please get ready as we go into this and we'll come back and we'll talk about it. All right, guys, we are back. We are back. Man, it's an awesome thing. It is a blessing to do this. So I'm going to get right into it. This past Saturday, I was able to minister to men at our church. And what this was about was something that we've actually never done before, but you may have heard of it in a different sense, but it was so necessary for the men going into 2022. So how this came about was last November, myself and two other gentlemen, we were part of a conference. Attendees at a conference for a Christian men's network. And on the last day of that conference, that morning session, this was a Saturday, at the end of that service, they had every man that was in attendance come up and allowed the leaders to release prayers over them, release words of life over them, and also release words of affirmation. Remember that word, words of affirmation. And I tell you, this was so powerful because what I saw in my eyes was we had men, not just men, but we had men that were, of course, leaders, but men that were teachers, men that were vice presidents or senior vice presidents, men that were entrepreneurs, husbands, fathers, grandfathers, great grandfathers, those that may have been in law enforcement, those that were in politics. None of that necessarily mattered per se in the sense of their title, but how it mattered is that the men they were praying for were able to have individuals that were established in the sense of their own right, praying over men for what they wanted to do leaving that conference. And I tell you this, like I said, it's not about title, but it's great that if you want to be an entrepreneur, you have the prayer of a person that is an entrepreneur at that time, praying over you, releasing those words of wisdom and direction and guidance and partnership, creativity, things like that. If you're an individual that's in corporate America, and let's say you are a manager, but you're looking to be a regional director or managing director, it's great that you have a VP or senior VP praying over you because they once at some point may have been in that role previously in their career. So it's great to have someone with that established experience praying over you. And as I was meeting with a few of the men in December on how we were going to launch this year for the ministry, one thing that was paramount is that we had to open up in prayer. We needed to do something different for the men coming into not just 2022, but allowing them to move throughout the year, right? And the other thing that coupled with that is, whoa, hold on. Why don't we take the same thing that we experienced and allow the men at our church to experience the same thing? And this is where the affirmation comes in. And an affirmation is described as the act of saying or showing that something is true, or the act or the action or process of affirming something or being affirmed. And I say it this way, that we are all males, which there's no problem with that. And I say specifically male because that isn't the thing that is being attacked in this world, in this age. What is being attacked is our manhood. Do we call ourselves men? If so, what is the character behind that man? And the resistance that we have from the world is that there are so many burdens that rest on our shoulders in regards to the male species that it's testing our resolve, it's testing our mettle, and it's looking, the world is looking for us to break down and throw in a towel and say, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and let go of this manhood title. Because it's just too much to bear. If you can picture the image of Atlas holding the world upon his shoulders, you know, that's a great image, you know, that a man is trying to hold up the world, but it's not reality because we in ourselves individually cannot hold up this world, and nor should we. That is just too much to bear. However, if you have a brotherhood under the same belief system, in the same spirit, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he will be, right? Then you can move about in the same word, in the same spirit, in the same ruach, the same power in what needs to be done for this world. And I tell you, so you and I collectively, we need to make sure that we are dictating what the world says about us in our role regarding the family. And I told you this year, I am opening up with the role of the man in the family based off of the survey that I had put out on LinkedIn. That was the topic. And I believe what happened this weekend definitely fits with where we want to go, right? So, you know, as we wrestle against this thing in the world, they're trying to tell us through societal norms that, you know, we're lazy, we're good for nothing, we don't keep a job, you know, and we may not be the best role models. While on the other hand, we struggle with ourselves. We do struggle with ourselves. And let's face the facts, gentlemen. We can definitely pick apart the pitfalls of our past life, right? We can easily go into the boxes in our mind and open them up and say, oh yeah, I remember when I did that thing, that wasn't good. I remember when I was supposed to be here at this time, but I didn't really keep my bond, which is my word. I didn't do that. And comparing it to what the world says, you know, we have to be honest. If we're wanting to grow as an individual, as a man, and as a group body of men, we have to be honest and say, you know, there's a bit of truth to what the world is saying. I was not the best father at that time. You know, I wasn't the best decision maker because it seems like when decisions had to be made, I was always in flux. I was always timid in making a decision because I didn't want to make the wrong choice. And those that are attached to me have to suffer the consequences of it. You know, that business deal that you made, you knew before you even said yes that you should have said no, but you went ahead with it. And now you're suffering the residue from it. And that's some of the things, just a small tip of the iceberg that we have to face. But guys, I have to tell you this, that in either case, you are still in a position for greatness. Les Brown says this a lot in his motivational topics, is that you have greatness in you. And you have to believe that there's more to you than meets the eye. You've heard that topic before, that term before, right? There's more to you than meets the eye. But when you're looking at yourself through a mirror, the only thing that comes back are your faults most of the time, if not first, right? You know that you are very creative, that you can do this, but you know the times in their past that it wasn't the best, that you really were slow, you were procrastinating on it, that you really should have taken more time to do what you should have done, but all of that stayed in your mind, so it hindered you from understanding and seeing that you were great. Gentlemen, we are great men with great burdens going into what we speak to be a great year, but we can't do it alone. Abraham, a great father in who we know him to be, had to be in position to become that great father. And that position was to hear the word from God. So when you look at Genesis 12, this is the initial story of Abraham and his conversation. You know, God tells him here in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will," get that, "I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless the man that blesses you. I will curse him that curses you. And in thee," that's in you guys, "in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So right now, Abraham is between an affirmation and a choice. An affirmation and a choice. And I say this from personal experience, is that when you are alone, any choice, any decision that you make just rest on you, all the consequences on you. Consequences are both good and bad. There's no sway on one side, that, and in that you can deal with it, right? You can say, well, you know, it's all right. You know, it didn't work out the way I wanted it to, but it's all good. I can deal with what happens, right? But when it comes to you plus family, making those decisions, we can't be haphazard about, right? We can't just say, oh, whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera. It just can't go that way. Because when you are a steward, when you have responsibility over more than just your temple, right? You can't just go about making a decision that you feel is right. You have to get input. You have to get a buy-in to what's happening. That's why when we're in relationships, we don't just make decisions on our own. We counsel, try to get feedback for those that we are connected to, right? For instance, you know, when you're in your home with your family, your wife or the kids may ask, hey, what are we going to eat tonight? You know, normally men, we don't care. We just show up to the table and we eat. But when you put buy-in and say, you know what, I think that maybe we can have this tonight, right? And you may not actually have that, but if you are allowing others to be a part of that decision, I think things go way better than we really want them to go, or need them to go, that is. And man, I have to tell you this, you know, you made that decision today just by listening to this episode. You made that decision just by showing up. And we know that showing up is the initial part of being successful in anything. And I have to tell you this, God is going to move the willing man. God, I will say this again, is going to move the willing man. So what do I mean by this? In 2 Peter, there's a scripture that says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but of holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost," as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Take a look at that. They did not move themselves. It wasn't their decision per se. They were moved by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Now, they had a choice to deny what the Holy Spirit was doing. And I hope you are in a position as Abraham to hear clearly what God is saying and not denying his word upon your life. The scripture says, when you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Meaning when God is speaking to you, when God is moving on your behalf, don't be that God that is stubborn. Don't be that male, that man that is saying, you know what? I don't feel that's the right thing. When you know God is saying that, but you don't want to do it because it's uncomfortable. Can you imagine Abraham's conversation had he made a choice with God, toward God, to say, no, I don't want to follow what you're saying, because you're telling me I'm going to go to a land that you will show me. And you're telling me, yes, it will be filled with milk and honey. But you know what? I don't know what that process is going to look like. So I'm not going to go. And that is the scary part about making decisions. Between an affirmation, what God is saying about me, what he's going to do through me and for me, and a choice. So let me help you with this word here. James 3 says that, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. The tongue boasts great things. So I'll say this, if we can put a bit in a horse's mouth and a rudder on a large ship for them to move, why can we not put the word of God upon our mouths so that he may move us as he desires to where we need to go, right? I know it's easier said than done, but fellas, we can't allow those small little foxes to kill our vines, to destroy the very things that God is trying to establish in our life. You know, those small foxes can look like self-doubt, past hurts, moments of inadequacy, our age or health issues. But he can use it all to bring about a hope and a glory through you. And I tell you, you are greater than your history. You have been equipped with the necessary tools to build and create in spite of your former selves. We can't hold on to what we did in the past. Whatever happened in the past, whatever happened, good or bad, last year happened. It's said and done. However, use it to move you to a better version of yourself. And how do we do this? By speaking life over ourselves. Proverbs 23 says, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now I ask you the question, what do you really think or believe what's in your heart? I give you this example in Judges 6. Please read this when you have time. Judges 6 is a great story about the son of Joash. His name is Gideon, and it speaks to his story where he had a conversation with the messenger of God, that angel that came to him at a time that he was in a desperate need. Gideon was on the brink of war, right? War was at the footsteps of the children of Israel. So in protection of what they had, he was threshing wheat in a wine press. And I tell you this, that many times when we have situations coming against us, continuing to fight us, that we continue to struggle with, it makes us do something that is unorthodox, that we never thought about doing before, that we would have never allowed to be creative. We never allowed ourselves to be that creative because we never had to face such a situation. But now he had to do something different. And in that, now God had to speak a word into his life for what was about to come to the children of Israel. And that angel said, Gideon, thy mighty man of valor, says the Lord is with you. Mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. Here's a man caught between an affirmation and his identity. He's struggling with an affirmation and self-doubt. His nation is on the brink of conflict while inner identity is being revealed. And many times it takes the pressure, as I said, of an outside situation to push something out of us that we don't know that was there. Or even more commonly, we know and are aware of its presence, but we have made it dormant. Man, I have to tell you, this is a time of quickening, to be made alive. And this is how we do it, by opening our mouths and speaking those things that be not as though they are. We got to bring those dead things to life. So, and in this, I want to challenge your theology here. Not that it's going to be wrong, but I want you to go deeper in the word that you study. And look at this, at the story of Lazarus and his death. There was still life in Lazarus, even though he was dead. Yes, he didn't have any breath in him. Yes, his heart stopped pumping. Therefore, there was no blood flow. Yes, he was already wrapped in a shroud and in linen. Yes, by that time Jesus came to his tomb, he was already being eaten by the bugs, any kind of bugs that you can imagine at that time. But his friend Jesus, Yeshua, had to speak life into existence. What do I mean? If you understand this, Lazarus was the precursor to Jesus' own resurrection story. Everything about him had to die. I'm going to say that again. everything about you had to die so that everything about you could come alive. Whoo! Oh, that's a powerful word there. Everything about you had to die so everything about you could come alive. So Lazarus couldn't be dead because he still had a purpose, because he was the living testament of what is to come. That means he was the precursor to Jesus' own resurrection. So yes, he was in the grave, in the tomb, but Jesus had to raise him up to let everybody know who he truly was. And he was just an example of the great thing that was about to come on that third day. So guys, I've got to tell you, this is a resurrection and a release unto something greater in your life. Deuteronomy 15, chapter 15 speaks about the year of the Lord, or the year of release. And what this was about is that on the seventh year, get that now, on the seventh year, that all debt was canceled amongst the brethren of Israel. All debt was canceled. Oh, I'm going to say it again. All debt, somebody has to claim this. All debt was canceled amongst the brethren of Israel. Guys, if you understand our credit system today, is that in within about 7 years or so, you have inquiries that fall off. Anything that was on your credit that was an inquiry would fall off on that time. But anything that is a debt that you still have has the opportunity to be resold to another creditor, and resold and resold. That means it stays in cycle until you pay it off. And guys, I'm gonna challenge you on this thought, that sometimes we tend to be the creditor and the debtor. The creditor and the debtor. We go through the process and get our credit cleaned up. We pay off our credit cards, but then a month later, we put ourselves right back into debt because we don't have the discipline that we need. And we got to speak this thing over ourselves, that we are releasing a word over our life. We are releasing past hurts, past doubts, and bringing a newness of life, which Romans 6:4 speaks about, that as we release ourselves to death, we then release ourselves unto life. And guys, I've got to say this. This is not just for us, but this is for our children. There's an affirmation and the next generation, and we are in between. We are in between what God is saying about our children and what they're going to be. And we have to be the living testament. We have to be the living example. We have to be the embodiment of the word that they see and or hear, to understand how they are going to be raised to the next generation. And this was so key. I must interject this real quick, that as we were going through this message on Saturday, we invited the not just the men, but the men and their children of 10 years and up. Why? Because what happens to the man happens to the family. It happens to the children just as well. So we wanted to help the men take the lead in the family and start showing them how to bless their household. So what we did is that as the message was finished, concluded, we had every man come up, and those leaders that I spoke about at the beginning of this prayed over each man. And then in turn, the men with children that were present, they turned around and prayed over their children. Now, yes, we could have prayed over their children for them, but we are not with them every day. They don't hear our voices day in and day out. We are not there to see what's going on in their lives. So we needed the fathers to be in place, speaking words of life over them. And there is a gentleman there. He brought his two daughters, beautiful little girls. We know them. They were so awesome. And after I prayed over him, he turned around and as instructed and prayed over them individually. Why individually? Is because yes, they are sisters. Yes, they are siblings, but they're going to grow up in the same households, but they're going to have different lives. And it's for the father to speak that word that he sees in them into the atmosphere so they can start living according to that word. So for his example, men, as you look at your children, What is that one thing that sticks out about them? There's one child that you can see is very talented in music. They love listening to music, but they want to put an instrument in their hand. There may be another child that likes to ride bikes, but you can see that they're doing stunts on their bikes, right? So that child, girl or boy, could be somebody that's getting involved in motocross later on in life, which is great. The other child can be creative in music, can also be a teacher just as well. But you as a parent have to see those things. And in order to see those things, you have to put away some things that you're doing. Meaning, you know, you may have set aside a day off to go golfing with your buddies, but that same day off, it's not that you can't go golfing, but you need to set your schedule that you spend time with your kids to sit down, take them out to eat, sit down in the house with them, play a game, listen to their voice, so that you can pray over them effectively. Why is this encounter so important for the children? Jesus said this in Matthew 19, "Then the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, 'Let the children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and departed from there." This is what's so key, is that as we look to our children, this is what he's saying, I believe is what he's saying here, is that as we look to the children, they are an example of how we as adults need to be. What do I mean? Okay, this is what I mean, is that the children are more susceptible, yes, to life, but at the same time, more susceptible to being happy, to being more free, to living their life, not having the cares of the world. And we know as adults, we don't want the care of the world any part of the day. I don't want to even think about, look, let me tell you this. I don't even like going to my mailbox. I really don't, because I know it's going to be somebody trying to send me something about a bill, some junk mail, nothing that I really want. So I don't go to the mailbox, right? Guys, they are an example of how we truly should be before God. They are the perfect example of how we come to God. And that's with an open mind and a willing spirit. It's no coincidence in this. And I want to close with this, guys. We had this event on the 8th. And I say it's no coincidence because on the 8th, in regarding the numerology of God, the 8th is the new beginning. And I tell you this, I want you to take notes on this right here, is that look at the corporate world, or let's just look at man's calendar. We have January, the Gregorian calendar, if I'm correct. We have January all the way to December, right? That's our calendar. But you have the natural calendar, for lack of a better word, but then you have the physical calendar. And what that is for any corporation, for any entrepreneur, that's the day that you began your business. It's not even that you had a brick and mortar or building in itself. That was the day that you said, this business is officially established. And this is what I want you to take from that, is that you set this day, whatever day you hear this, whatever day you and your wife and family make the decision, this is the new day that you are creating, because God created a new day for the children of Israel. If you look at Exodus 12, he said, this is going to be a new day. This is going to be a new year. I'm going to establish some new things for you. And all of this is going to be not just for you, but for the next generation just as well. And I want to leave you with this. Proverbs 18 and 21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And I want to tie this in there. In the conversation that Moses had with God as he met him at the burning bush, God had told him what he wanted him to do in regards to going back and releasing his people from Pharaoh, right? So Moses had this one question, and he says, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to you. I'm just ad-libbing this here. I'm going to go to your people. But if they ask me who sent me, what am I to say? God's response is, I am that I am. I am that I am. And I want you to take this on as you are speaking in words of affirmation over yourself and over your family. I am blank. You get to fill in the blank. You get to write that in. You've got to know what is inside of you. As I said earlier, in speaking to Gideon, that sometimes an outside situation and outside pressure tends to bring up that very thing that is in us, but we've made it dormant. This is the time that we need to make it alive, gentlemen. This is the time that we have to bring it up and walk with it. We've got to speak it into existence, and we've got to hold on to it. So I am that great father that I know I can be. I know that I am that great husband. I know that I am that great entrepreneur. I know that I have creativity. I know that I am a great leader. I know that within me, God has given me power. He has given me strength. He has given me the grace of his mercy so that I can do all things through his son, Jesus Christ. I am that I am. All right, guys, this is 2022, and it's not just one day. It's 365 days, and we can't even let it stop there. You've got to speak this word over your life so that you are standing up, saying that you still have life in you. You got to be that Lazarus and saying, you know what? I'm not dead. I still got work to do. For those guys that have been retired, you're not officially retired. Yes, you may have officially retired from your job, but you still got work to do. All right, guys, that is today's word. That's today's show for you. Affirmation, and I want you to remember this here. This is prophetically speaking that God is going to move the willing man. God is going to move the willing man. And that goes back to Genesis 12 and the story of Abram and his family, that God spoke to him and told him to get out of that country, get out of your father's house, and go to a place that I'm going to show you. Guys, God is ready to show you what he wants to do through you and for you and for those attached to you. But I ask you, please take the time out within this week so that you can hear for yourself and not anybody else, for yourself, what God is trying to do, because he has plans for you. Remember this, and he has said this in Jeremiah, that I know the plans that I have for you, right? Come on. He knows this. He has the blueprint because he's the one that created the blueprint for you. All you got to do is hear it and follow it. He's made the plan, guys. Come on. All right. Love you guys. Ready to get back at this once again. Remember, we're still on the topic of the role of the man in his family. Love you guys, and we'll be speaking again.